Howdy, Vikings fans. Welcome back to the Wobcast. It's another edition. We're coming to you from Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, with producer Mike Harris. And joining us right off the bat, we get right into the guest. It's radio voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen. Hey, PA.
What's going on, man? You got Charlie Casserly on the horizon?
That's right. He's coming in.
Let's fly through me. Okay. He was Mario Williams' immortality. His opinions are better than mine.
Let's not talk draft. You and I have talked about it so much. I want to talk about something else, and that's the schedule release.
Yes.
It just came out this week.
Love it.
Vikings open up at home for the first time since 2007. They play the Jacksonville Jaguars and then go to Indy to see Andrew Luck. What do you think about that start?
I love it, to be honest with you. It's Jacksonville and Indianapolis are probably two non-playoff teams. And if you are trying to raise your quarterback, second-year guy, and you're going to be putting new receivers around him, you got John Carlson, already a good defensive front, so you know some work on the secondary, I would rather start with a home game against a non-playoff team and then have a team like Indianapolis on the road than maybe the way this thing finishes, you know, where you got to go to Soldier Field and Lambeau near the end. Yeah. So I think it's pretty cool, man.
Okay, let's focus on the beginning of the season. The end of the season is tough, and we'll get to that in just a little bit.
Yeah, it really is.
So you have Jacksonville at home at Indianapolis. Now Randy Moss and the Niners come home in week three. You see them, and then you go to Detroit. Now, obviously, the game against Moss is a big deal because he's one of the best players in our franchise's history.
Yes.
But I want to talk about
if he's even on the team at that time, by the way.
Sure. Because you made a point about playing a division opponent early in the season. The Vikings go to Detroit in week four. Why do you like that?
I like it because really the past performances, the predicted outcome does not necessarily always go the way the public thinks it's going to go. Early in the season. Because look last year. I mean, around the midway point, we almost beat Green Bay at Mall of America Field in Christian Ponder's debut. We almost beat Detroit. In fact, if McNabb can close to Berrien and not overthrow him like he did, I think we beat Detroit.
Sure.
See, but then we started to sustain injuries. Ponder started to get knocked around, and we started to lose. So then the losing compounded itself, and it made it more difficult to beat three divisional teams that were all out for the playoffs.
Sure.
So I prefer to catch divisional teams early. I'm really happy we open at home and we get Indy in week two. San Francisco, man, I mean, Alex Smith, you know, he managed that thing sweetly last year. We'll see if he's a trend or a mirage.
Sure. After Detroit, it looks like we have four games before the bye at home, including Detroit, so we finish up with them. Bye week in week 11. That is November 18th.
Yeah, that's
a little late.
That's too far down the road for me. I mean, we're looking at, so we have 10 games, then the bye.
Yeah.
After four preseason games after a training camp. However, unlike some previous Vikings teams, this is not the most veteran-laden team in the world.
Oh,
you know,
true.
It's not like we have all of these older guys that we need to keep patched together like we have. So, actually, the November 18th bye time is kind of the body clock end of the college season. If you have younger guys, that's when they traditionally would be hitting that cliched, quote, wall, end quote.
Yeah.
So it actually may fall at a perfect time. I'd prefer 2 weeks earlier. That's all right.
Radio voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, and host 100.3 from 9 to noon joins us on the Wobcast. Okay, so after the bye, meat grinder time. Let me read this to you.
Yeah.
At Chicago, at Green Bay, home against Chicago, at St. Louis.
That's tough.
Tough.
Yeah, it's really tough. But you know what? If that's the trade out of the bye to get to start with Jacksonville here at Indy, playing at Detroit earlier, getting at Washington early in the season. Tennessee's going to be tough. I mean, Tennessee's going to be a defensive meat grinder running Chris Johnson and that whole thing. So I like the schedule, man. I'm not going to make a record prediction or anything, but where the Thursday night game falls on October 28th, right in front of Halloween, it you then have a long week up to a game at Seattle. If you're going to have a Thursday game in a short week, have it not only at home, but come off a home game.
Sure.
And we have Arizona before that. So no excuses from here, boys. Draft well and cultivate that Christian at quarterback and let the pieces fall where they may.
One more quick thing before we go, Paul.
Yeah.
Week 17.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if we're going to be in a playoff push or not. We might be out of it, right? But the key is we play Green Bay. You and I live this thing. If we're good, we have to be in it, and we have to be emotional about it. If we're bad, we have to be emotional about it. So no matter where the team is, playing Green Bay in Week 17, it's not hard to get up for that game.
No, I think it's super cool. And, remember the game against Green Bay here with Ponder's debut.
Yeah.
they were favored by a million points in that game. It looked like I told you about divisional games, man. It looked like to most people around the country that we were just going to get killed.
Yeah.
And we almost won. So these divisional games, specifically against Green Bay, have a strange way of staying close. Hopefully that one does. Hopefully we're in a spot to make memories.
I hope so, too. Thanks for joining us. You're the first repeat guest on the Wobcast.
Huh? You must be going alphabetically.
I always. All right, we got to run. You got to run. Charlie Cassidy coming up next. Paul, thanks for joining us.
Yep, no problem.
All right, and because I have no natural segue to the next topic, I'm going to use an overused transitional phrase and say, let's switch gears and talk about the NFL draft. To do that, we're going to bring in NFL Network analyst Charlie Casserly. Mr. Casserly was with the Washington Redskins in their front office as a scout and then eventually as a GM for 23 seasons. He went to 4 Super Bowls with the Redskins, and they won 3 of them. Then he moved on to the Houston Texans in 2002. When they were an expansion team, he served as their senior VP and GM and drafted guys such as Mario Williams and Andre Johnson and D'Amico Ryans and Owen Daniels, so he's a very accomplished front office member in the NFL, or he was, and now he works for NFL Network. We bring him into the Wobcast. Welcome, Charlie. And by the way, we have a new device that we're using, and Charlie is the first guest to appear on the Wobcast via telephone, so this is a big day in young Wobcast history. We thank him for joining. Let's get right into it. Charlie, Rick Spielman, our GM here, always says that draft time, combine time, the few weeks leading up to the draft is his favorite time of year. As a former GM and former scout, was this always your favorite time of year too, and why do you think that is for scouts and GMs?
Well, it's certainly a fun time because you get a chance to get your team better, and it's somewhat competitive with the draft because you don't know what the other teams are doing. And you know, one of the fun things about being in personnel is going to scout a guy. And it's a challenge every time you do it. Every day is different. Every player is different. And then seeing that player develop and get better. So it's a little bit like, going to a Vegas day to gamble. And, you know, hey, when you hit it, you're excited. When you lose it, well, you move on. At least we're not having that negative there sometimes. But it is an exciting time. And I think everyone in the organization kind of gets re-energized this time of year after the draft.
What do you think of the job that Rick has done here in Minnesota? He's drafted a couple of rookies of the year. He's traded for Jared Allen. He built a team that went to the 2009 NFC Championship game. Coming off a couple of rough seasons, trying to turn it around, what do you think of the job that Rick has done?
Well, I think he's a terrific personal man. In fact, it's a shame when they lost to the Saints because they were the better team. Minnesota had the best talent that year of any team in the NFC, I thought. And it's a shame they didn't win that game because, like I said, they should have been in the Super Bowl. And to me, they would have been the favorites in the Super Bowl that year. But, you know, you move on from there, and sometimes teams hit a peak, and then you have to kind of reload, rebuild, and that's where they are right now. So I think the people in Minnesota have to be patient. You've got a young quarterback who's got a bright future, and you just have to build around him. And over a period of time, this team will get back in playoff contention.
You know, we got some bad stadium news earlier this week, and I'm going to get into it later on in the Wobcast, but your perspective would be an interesting one on this because especially with your time with the Houston Texans, where you guys had Reliance Stadium, a brand new facility when the Houston Texans were an expansion team. Talk about the impact that a modern stadium can have on a franchise and, almost as importantly, its fan base.
Well, I think having a stadium is really important. I think it's crucial for the city of Minneapolis. I think Sid Hartman wrote a terrific editorial the other day in the paper about the value of the team, not losing the team, and the fact that the new stadium isn't built. Again, it was an opinion, I guess. If it's sold, it'll be moved. But I think you got to get a stadium built. I think the NFL wants to stay in Minnesota. It's got a tremendous tradition. It's great football country. The fans have been great there. It's a lot of great memories. And hopefully this thing gets worked out. And I think once people are in a new stadium, they'll be really excited by it.
You know, one more quick thing, Charlie, before we go. Your experience in Minnesota, I'm interested to hear about it because as GM of the Redskins, you and your team won a Super Bowl here in Minnesota. The game was played at the Metrodome. There were some renovations done to Winter Park because the Super Bowl was held here. Tell us a little bit about that and your experience in Minnesota.
Well, in 92, we were fortunate to be in the Super Bowl. We played in Minnesota and had a tremendous experience. You know, people say, well, what in the world, how would you enjoy going to Minnesota? Well, first of all, the people of the city were great. Everywhere we went, there was tremendous hospitality. People had fun there. I know our group had fun. We thought the experience at the stadium was electric during the course of the game. The fan experience was terrific. And then we got to practice over at the Vikings facility. The indoor park was, the indoor practice field certainly was necessary, but and it was first class. And the Vikings personnel, very warm to us. We had a great experience with them. And got a chance to meet Jerry Burns, former coach of the Vikings. They're a great guy. We actually had something in common. Both of us got our career starts to a degree with George Allen. Mine in the NFL with George Allen, and Jerry Burns worked with him at Whittier College in California back in the 50s. So we got to share some funny stories about Coach Allen, and that was great. But it was a tremendous experience, one that we'll remember forever.
And remember, those of you listening, you can follow Charlie on Twitter. His Twitter handle is at Charlie Casserly. That's C-H-A-R-L-E-Y. Casserly is C-A-S-S-E-R-L-Y. Follow at Charlie Casserly to get more information in the lead up to the draft and even after the draft all season long. Charlie has a lot of great information. He puts it on his Twitter account. It's a really good follow. It's a one that I follow, and I recommend you do the same, at Charlie Casserly. Thanks for stopping in, Charlie. We got to run, but we appreciate your time. It was awesome to have you on, and hopefully we can do it again.
Okay, no problem.
All right, to close the show, unfortunately, we have to go to some somber news, and it is indeed somber. If you haven't heard, the House Government Operations and Elections Committee, yes, there is something called that at the state legislature, they voted down a proposed public subsidy package for a new football stadium in Minnesota. Very bad news. A huge roadblock in the quest to build a new stadium here in Minnesota for the state and for the Vikings. And here's how I knew it was bad news. The chief House stadium author, his name is Maury Lanning from Moorhead. He's been a very good advocate for the Vikings and in our opinion, for the state of Minnesota, trying to get this stadium deal done. He said, someone will have to pull a rabbit out of the hat. That's what he said after the panel met earlier in the week. And then Lester Bagley, the Vikings vice president of stadium development and public affairs, he said it's a mistake to think the Vikings and the league will continue with the status quo. Now, I mean, those are some ominous words coming from people who are working their hardest to get a stadium deal done here. And it really doesn't look good for legislation to pass this session before the legislature adjourns. It's not 100% dead yet, but it's definitely on life support. Hopefully everyone can get their act together next year, because the understatement of the century is that time is of the essence to get a new stadium deal done in Minnesota. With that, we'll say that is it for us today. I'm Mike Wobshaw. Thanks again for listening. We'll leave you with one of my favorite groups, Ace of Base. Take it away.